So we'll get going while people are milling around. So if you're new here today, you'll know that we've had a hello. We have a fairly relaxed start to the morning of different kinds, and then we go into a period where we do a little bit of teaching. You can call it a sermon or talk or whatever we do. It's generally guided through the lens of the Bible, and our teaching comes from that as we try to understand what it means to live a life of faith in the world. And we've been going through, I've been teaching a series on Ecclesiastes, an ancient bit of Old Testament wisdom, and we'll be looking at particularly Ecclesiastes 3 today. And we did a little bit of an introduction and deep dive into it last week. This is more of a theological and practical outworking of some of those things we talked about last week. If you want to make reference to it, it's Ecclesiastes 3, and in your church Bibles on page 671. Before we do that, I just want you to shout out some cliches or sayings about time that you can think of, that you use or other people use. Sorry?
Heals all wounds.
Time heals all wounds. Yes, okay. Like it?
Time waits for no man or woman.
Time waits for no man or woman, yes.
Time marches on.
Time marches on, you're banging them out, yes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh yes, Tricia. Oh. Typically you would have said that. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Anything else?
Time for coffee.
Time for coffee. Always time for coffee, Mark, yes. Anybody else? There's loads out there. Having a whale of a time. Making up for lost time. Early bird catches the worm. A stitch in time saves nine, Lorna's favourite. When I asked her about this, that's the first one she said. And I could have bet our house on it. Particularly if we don't know one. Time flies when you're having fun. Time is money. Time is of the essence. Call it a day. You're behind the times. Laugh a minute as well. So it seems that our language is dominated by time as much as our lives are. And we don't notice how much we reference to time in the normal everyday of our lives. And so we've been looking at what time is in these 28 seasons that our sage, our purveyor of life, we're going to call him Qohelet. He could be a teacher. He's a wisdom guy. He's a wise old royal figure that is purveying all of his life and wondering what he's doing with his time. Now, you will know, or many of you will know, that in ancient Greek mythology, there are two words for time. Can anybody tell me what those two words for time are?
Chronos.
Kairos. And Kairos. Yes, excellent. Bang, she's back. Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is time measured chronologically, like a linear sequence of seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, year. Chronos is calendar and clock time. Kairos is a quality of time used decisively, the right moment, the opportune time. The Bible often talks about in the fullness of time, when time reveals something. It is a moment to act, and the time when something happens, which is decisive. And so we spend our lives negotiating with Chronos and Kairos, with a linear sequence of time, but also the opportunity to act, the moment to act decisively. And we save time, we spend time, we waste time, we lose time, we gain time. All that time, we are seeking to act wisely in the moment, in the time that we have on this earth. And it is the oscillation, the tension between Chronos time and Kairos time. Now, you may know that obviously with Greek words, there come Greek gods. And this is the Greek god Chronos. He is a titan of time, feared for his destructive nature, his all-devouring cruelty. In fact, here he is depicting swallowing his own children, or at least getting ready to swallow his own children. He is also meant to have clipped the wings off Cupid as well. So he was a tyrant of time. And during the Renaissance period, Cronos became or morphed into what we know as Father Time. This is an ornament taken from or out of Ickworth House, which is a National Trust house that Lorne and I visited in Suffolk a few weeks ago. And here, Father Time, Cronos, is depicted with an hourglass. But very often, as you'll see also, he carries a sickle or a scythe, and that is similar to the Grim Reaper. So there's not an accident that the Cronos, Father of Time, also is like a Grim Reaper, because it represents the all-devouring nature of time, harvesting our lives, eating up our days. We suffer at the hands of Cronos. And so both in Greek mythology and in the reality of our lives, Cronos is cruel. So we're going to be talking about cruel Cronos. Coelette, our sage, says everything has a moment, every purpose under the sun has a time. And so we experience these 28 seasons in Ecclesiastes 3 through the period of Cronos time, cruel Cronos time. And one way that we know this all very well, how cruel Cronos manifests itself, is in our technologically driven world. See, we are living in a world where time is artificially enhanced. We live in a time where we are living with induced speed in every sphere of our lives. Technology has heightened the cruelty of Cronos, because we have lost, as we well know, we have lost the ability to live in seasons. We are drowning in Cronos technology and tools. And of course, the slow seasonality of food production, travel, communication has changed irrevocably in the last 20 years, but also in the last 100 years with the advance of technology. We see, for example, food. Of course, food technology, we've long since lost the ability or the need even to live seasonally in terms of our food production. We don't have to worry about the availability of fruit and veg in particular seasons. We're no longer constrained to have to wait for the harvest time in particular seasons. So the hyper-availability of most foods is a Cronos period, a cruel Cronos period. You may say it is a Kairos period, because it allows us, it gives us the opportunity to eat food from all over the world at any time of the year. But what it leaves us is expectant and entitled, because we want strawberries in winter. We want different fruits on the shelf at any time in the calendar year, because we know it can be imported just like that from across the world of where it's grown. And so it leaves us in our food production governed by the sense that there is no time where we can't have this particular type of food. Money and credit, of course. The credit laws, which were dismantled a few years ago under Margaret Thatcher, enabled people to buy things on credit without having to have the waiting time to save up to buy those things. Of course, that is part good, because there's always a good part to it, but very often it leaves us no longer able to have the discipline to wait to save up for something, because we can buy it instantly on credit card. Of course, the greatest cruelty of Cronos is our communication, the communication tech and tools that we live in. WhatsApp has made us so impatient. When we see that double blue tick after we ask someone a question, and then we're waiting for them, we see they've read it, and you haven't answered my question. It's been an hour now, and you haven't even got back to me. You haven't got the courtesy of getting back to me and answering my question. we didn't have that before WhatsApp. We didn't have that before the double cruel blue tick, which taunts us when we ask someone a question and they don't have the decency to reply to us within an hour or even 24 hours. That is not the technology that is left us with more time. It's actually made us more impatient with people. There is a, and I'll show a picture of her, I think, here. There is a digital well-being expert called Anastasia Dedekina. And she teaches to do TED Talks. She's written this book called Homus Distractus. And it is a book revealing how the digital era, how it impacts on our well-being. And her premise is that the digital age has distracted us, distorted our attentions and our choices. And we know all this stuff, of course. It isn't new to us. But as we try to unpack it in terms of theologically and also practically with Coalette as our sage, it helps us to see and highlights the ways in which our brains and our world have been sped up, and how the digital era has induced a speed into our hours and our days, which our human brain is being conformed with. So our brains are being rewired to tech time. And I would say tech time is cruel chronos. This is the way in which technology is a cruel thing for us. You think about a website. You look for a hotel and it says only 3 rooms left at this price. You go for some concert tickets, only 2 tickets left. There's a reason why, because they want you to buy it now and not look at other hotels or other ticket websites for other possibilities. They're forcing you to make a decision now because there are only 2 tickets left, there are only 3 rooms left, and I've got to act. I haven't got time to go somewhere else because they may be taken and I won't be able to get that concert ticket. So it forces us to make a decision. And so we are living in a world, we are forced to conform to tech speed, which distorts our brain and our natural rhythms of life. So the big requirement, of course, both in our social lives and in our work lives, as many of you will know, that we are expected to process data at tech speed, far more than we ever used to. We are to communicate instantly. And this physically affects our nervous system. Now, I'm not a brain expert, a neurologist, okay? But knowing some of this through reading and through our own ways in which our bodies and brains function, our nervous system is affected by technology which induces us to act in certain ways. Our brain very often is in an induced state of emergency by technology. And this lady says, she says that deeper understanding and learning requires time we don't have. We're not given by our workplaces and by our social circles. We are forced to achieve things more quickly, faster, instantly. And of course, on the case of social media, this has had disastrous effects. Because when we are forced to conform to tech speed, cruel chronos, we are then forced to take decisions which may be superficial in the moment because we sense that we should respond to them instantly. And she says that conforming to this tech speed leaves us and compromises us, very often the quality of our work and our integrity, because we haven't had the time to process that information more slowly. And we know this when people have liked something on Instagram or liked something on Twitter and it's got them into trouble because they've immediately ticked something and a reflection afterwards has been, I shouldn't have endorsed that. I shouldn't have ticked it. I shouldn't have mentioned it. I shouldn't have forwarded it because I didn't reflect on what the content was. I didn't reflect on what the consequences were for me doing that. And that's all about tech speed. Bang, bang, bang. Do instantly. And the double cruelty of tech speed is that our brains start preferring processes that don't require deep understanding and learning. This is how our brain works. Dopamine releasing pleasures feed on new and exciting content, videos, pictures, images. It is fast food for our brains that we get addicted to. And this is how our brains are literally rewired by wanting something instant, a new high of a video or a TikTok video or an Instagram post all the time. And it leaves us bereft of slowness. And the irony of the online article to do with this book was that underneath it said a 6-minute read. I don't think they understood it being such an ironic statement. So they're saying, you read about this book or this online article and it'll only take you 6 minutes. Oh, great, I can read it in 6 minutes, that's fine. So all the time we are being asked to do things, forced to do things, where our brain is being rewired. And I haven't even gone on to AI, and that's another thing. Perhaps we'll look at AI and knowledge and information. That's why it's good to do physicality in books, yes, yeah. So that is cruel chronos. That is cruel chronos. We're going to look at the other Greek god that is Kairos. Kairos is well built and handsome, young and fast, but strangely bald at the back, with a lock of hair at the front. Can anybody tell me why Kairos is bald at the back with a hair coming down at the front?
Is it his wings?
No. It's like flap it over and you're going bald. No. Sorry?
Is it symbolism for the past history?
You're getting there, Martin, yes. So the idea is that Kairos is young and fast, and you only get the opportune moment to pull his hair, to seize him as he's gone past you. So you see Kairos coming towards you, but the opportune moment to catch that time, that moment, there's only a short moment when you can pull his hair, and that's at the back. So the idea that once he's past you, you can perhaps seize it, but only for a short time. There was a ripe time to act, and that is Kairos. And I'm calling that time Curious Kairos. So we have Cruel Chronos and Curious Kairos. And as I've said, we live in the tension between Cruel Chronos and Curious Kairos. And so does Kohelet, so does our sage, because he says in verse 10 in chapter 3, I've seen the busyness that God has given human beings to be busy with. So we have cruel chronos that makes us busy, tech time which forces us to act. We have our days numbered, our hours monitored, changing our brains and distorting our expectations. And then in verse 11, Kohelet says, he's made everything beautiful in his time. He has put permanence into our minds. So this is curious kairos, the quality of the right moment to act, to pull his hair at the back, the opportunity gifted to us, the kairos moment of opportunity. And we inhabit cruel chronos time, but our lives can be transformed by approaching time as kairos, as curious kairos. I just want to illustrate it in this way. So some of you here like to go out running, and I know that some of you do park runs. We've got massive great park runners here. What park run are you up to at the moment? Over 100 park runs. I did a park run in Norfolk yesterday, so my seventh, but it was in Sheringham, and it was a bit of a killer because it was up and down. But I have two ways of running. So when I go out running in Vicky Park, I'm just like a dog. I just run round Vicky Park to get my 5K out of the way. It's not something I enjoy, okay? So I go out running, I just do it, and I tried to beat my time, and I listened to Strava, and every 500 metres, Strava says, time. 4 minutes, 32 seconds. Oh, no, I'm behind my time. I've got to speed up. Then the next 500 metres, time. 6 minutes, da-da-da-da-da. And all the time, I'm calculating in my head what I need to get the time of what I want to get to by the end of the 5K. I don't care about the surroundings. I don't care about, you know, looking around for people. I just want to bang it out and get it over and done with. I'll feel better afterwards, but not during the time. When I do a park run, I try not to go to park runs twice. I like to do a new park run every time because I like the occasion. I like the vibe, the people. It's a fantastic thing to do. There's great volunteers. It's a great system and culture. And very often I choose places which have nice surroundings. There's a cliff, or there's a park, or there's some hills. And it's great to be part of a group of people at that moment in time. But at the same time, I'm enjoying all of that far more than running around Vicky Park like a dog. I'm still conscious of my time. So I want the vibe, I want the opportunity, I want the curiosity of meeting people and the chance to have this new place to do this run. But all the time, Strava is saying, time. 5 minutes, 32 seconds. Oh no, I'm behind. And of course, that's my fault. I could sack off Strava and not be worried about it and not be such a tyrant. But then, of course, I'd absolutely hate that. So I'm a Kronos runner learning to be a Kairos runner. I'm a Kronos runner that runs according to a pace set to me and set myself because I want to bang it out. But at the same time, I'm learning to enjoy the curious moment, the opportune moment of a park run, the place, the setting, the people you're doing it with.
A bit like life, then.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Aren't we all like that? Aren't we all going through life? Aren't we all going through life as Kronos runners, Kronos people, but grappling with Kairos moments, saving time, learning to be in the moment, learning to seize that moment, to enjoy it, to dwell on it, to waste time? And whilst Coalette has no idea of the technology, the cruelty of Kronos technology, he does offer wisdom of what to do in the seasons we live in. And I want to offer three pieces of wisdom as we finish with this in terms of the seasons. So, Coalette understands these 28 seasons, and they are there in Ecclesiastes 3. A time for planting and uprooting, a time for hurting, a time for healing, a time for war, a time for peace, a time for love and a time for hate, a time for crying and having fun, a time for silence and a time for speaking. These 28 rhythms almost cover every single sphere and time of our lives. And we are called to both endure and embrace the polarities of these seasons. Some of them are not always just good or bad. Some of them are just neutral. Some of the things that we have to do at specific Kairos moments. We are to enjoy and endure the joys and the challenges of those 28 rhythms. And we are called to practice curious Kairos. And practicing the wisdom of curious Kairos is to know when we are, what season we're in, and how to act in that season. Now, one of the joys of parenting is, and the challenges, of course, is seeing your children grow up and negotiating their agency and their individuality as they grow up, learning to give them wings. Another season which is less joyful, which has less attention given to it in terms of training you and helping you to learn how to act in that season, is how you parent your parents. Because the cycle of parenting and being parents hopefully will come to you all. And it is not a season you want to necessarily accelerate to. It is a challenging and difficult season. Lorna is in that season at the moment and has been for a number of years. Once her dad went into an old people's home, a residential care setting, it was harder to parent her mom, who was left behind with all the things that needed to do to get on with life. The added thing is that she also has to parent her two siblings as well, which is added dimension to it. It's the same with me when my mom died. It was learning how to parent your dad, which you never had an experience of before. You never taught before. Nobody gives you a lesson on parenting your parents when you're in your 40s and 50s and your 60s. And so we are learning, Lorna is learning, how to deal with an 85, 86, how old is she? 89-year-old woman who can be cranky and impatient. And I'm not saying that just as my mother-in-law. And we struggle to deal with that parenting, that intervening, that being asked to do things. And finding the grace and the patience to parent your parents is not a gift. It's not a time that comes easily. It is a cruel Chronos time. And how to act in that season is something that we are learning to do. And as many of you are learning to do as well. And this is just one way in which we each have different seasons. The 28 seasons, you may be in a particular season. It may be a season of fatigue or stress or joy or particular challenges that you face. And Kohelet offers three things I want us to dwell on as we finish. I'm calling them three postures of curious kairos. And they're found in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12 and 13 and 14 in the following few verses. Verses 12 and 13. We are called to celebrate life as a gift in whatever season we are in. So this is not to see the seasons that we are given as a gift, as if they've been ordained by God or desired by us. Many of us are dealt a season. We haven't requested it, we haven't desired it, we are given it. It's thrust upon us. However, the act and the posture of curious kairos is to see where joy can be found in that cruel chronos season, in that season where time is acting on us cruelly. It's hurting us. It's fatiguing us. One of the books we've been reading on a Wednesday is How to Inhabit Time, and I've referenced this before. And James K.A. Smith makes a reflection on the period of the pandemic time, the COVID time, which was a cruel and unprecedented season for many people in the world. And it stretched our human capacities as individuals, but as communities and countries. And it had profound consequences, both good and bad, of course. And that period of time dealt us grief, loneliness, fear, as perhaps we've never experienced it. But also, it gave us a gift to humanity to be able to demonstrate human endeavour, human solidarity, friendship, and for some, a slower pace of life. And James K.A. Smith says that the COVID season for him was a seasonal halo. It was a bright edge to a dark time, a time of uncertainty. And he refers to this seasonal halo as being given the glorious permission to be unproductive. And for many people, they could perhaps recognise that in that period of time when they were forced to do something because planning was out of the window. They had to be more in the moment because there was nothing to plan for because there was so much uncertainty in the future. For him, that was a seasonal halo. And so I ask the question to you, in whatever season you find yourself in, where can you find your seasonal halo? Where can you find the place and the time to celebrate life as a gift in whatever season you're in? So that's the first one. Then secondly, Kohelet says, I acknowledge that there is nothing better except to rejoice and do what's good in their lifetime. Verses 16 and 17. Do what's good while they live, the New International Version says. So there is a quality of life to be experienced in whatever season we're in, which gives us the opportunity for goodness and faithfulness. And the verse that Lorna brought earlier on in Galatians 6 touches on this already. Do not be fatigued in doing good. The idea that embracing curious kairos is where we can still do good, even though we are living in a cruel chronos moment and season. In all seasons of our life, whether it's fatigue or stress or doubt or boredom or loneliness or uncertainty, there is still a moment and a season and an opportunity to do good and to be faithful. And thirdly and lastly, Sage goes on to say, God has acted so that people live in awe of him, in verse 14. Kohelet says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, we looked at this last week. This isn't a beauty which is a quality of what is good or bad, but it is a quality of a ripe opportunity to be attentive to God. That is what he's saying. These 28 seasons are all of them, whatever they are, they're a ripe opportunity to seek and to find God and to pay attention to where he is working. And so these are three postures of curious kairos that can help temper and nourish our hopes and expectations in all the different seasons under the sun, even the cruel chronos seasons. So I'm going to leave you with three questions on to help us practice curious kairos. And perhaps these are the questions you can take into this week. How can I celebrate life as a gift in this season? Secondly, what good can I do in this season? And thirdly and lastly, where can I see God in this season? So these are three postures that help us to embrace curious kairos, the opportune moment, because slow, it seems, is the pace of God. And the reason why slow is the pace of God, because love is slow and God is love. Love is very, 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 very slow. And God is slow. And we want God to be quicker. We want him to be faster, to do things. But the slow pace of God is something that we have got to learn to be attuned to in these postures of curious kairos. Something to imitate as we go into our week in whatever season we find ourselves in. And then finally, I want to read these verses again as we think about what Lorna has brought to us. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, kairos, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Let's pray.